Hello, everyone, and welcome back around the payload. I am your host, The Blevins, and we've got a star-studded crew here today for this show. We're going to be talking all things Overwatch and Overwatch League. As you can see on the screen here, we've got some returning champions here and a newcomer. We got a newcomer, newbie, got some fresh blood here today. But if this is your first time listening, thank you so much for listening. We are High Noon Production, and we're going to be talking, like I said, about all things Overwatch League, and we're going to be doling out points. You're going to be hearing a sound that sounds a little bit like so. There we go. I swear these buttons work sometimes. That is going to be me giving out points if you're an audio-only listener, not you forgetting to update your PTR. But without further ado, let me introduce our wonderful hosts today. In the upper left, we've got the host of Owl Recap, Blazin' Bob.
Hey. Thanks for having me on. It's always a good time to come on and banter with other Overwatch nerds about Overwatch.
Yes, always a good time. Always love having you on, Bob. In the upper right, we got the newbie, host of Push the Point and I'll Buy the Numbers. We got Ramses. Welcome, sir.
Hey there, thank you for having me. It was paramount this week that I had my double dose of Bob between this and I'll Buy the Numbers, so I'm even more stoked to be here. And yeah, this is a great show. I've always been a fan of it, so happy to finally make my first appearance.
Yes.
Eager to disappoint.
Hey, that's my job, okay? I get to be on every episode. I'm the one that disappoints here. It's
high self expectations here.
I don't want to have to fire myself and replace myself. up next, in the bottom right, we've got the Batman to my Commissioner Gordon, host on Tactical Crouch, among many other things. We got Volumel.
Hello.
This isn't even your first time on High Noon Productions this week. You're running you're burning the midnight oil here. Good stuff. And last, it's certainly not least, we have Overwatch Contenders caster Boop.
What's up, everyone? I'm ready. I'm ready to get those points doled out to me. That's for sure.
Oh,
yes.
You got it. This is competition, guys.
It's true. Our personal and professional reputations are on the line here because these points are very, very important and they mean so much. But let's jump right into round number one.
Round one. Capture the objective.
So we're at that point in the Overwatch League that hasn't actually happened before. We are at a point where we have teams that are out of the running for season playoffs, and because there's no stage playoffs in stage four, they're not in the running for anything right now. These teams that are mathematically eliminated, they're out. You know, you're talking about your Mayhem, Justice. I think Toronto is technically out now. There might be another couple teams in there that I'm not sure off the top of my head, but I'm wondering, how are these teams, like, we're at a point where, like, these teams are throwing a wrench potentially into these playoff teams. So, Bob, how are these teams that are out of the running going to be affecting these playoff contenders, people playing for playoff spots right now?
I think they have the possibility to be extremely, affected. I don't know. But basically, I've been tweeting and talking about it for the last few weeks on different places that, like, this is the first time in OWL that we don't have a stage playoff. So therefore, it's the first time we have teams with nothing to lose. And in traditional sports, teams with nothing to lose are some scary things and can cause scary upsets and beat teams that they had no business beating. And it's especially amplified here with 2-2-2 coming in, because now all of a sudden, teams that were not faring well at all are suddenly popping off, like, you know, Washington, et cetera, et cetera. And that could even make for even more standings changes right before the actual end of season finals. So I think they're going to affect the playoffs quite a bit. And if, you know, like, if teams like London don't pick it up and Spark, like, they're just going to get knocked out, and we're going to see people we thought were playing for the play-ins going into the actual just playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that definitely a lot of good points there. Ramses, what do you think? I mean, is this really going to be a huge wrench for some of these play-in teams right now?
As more teams get eliminated, I think it's definitely a possibility. But right now, I don't know how much I believe it. Because if you look at the schedules, Florida and Toronto play each other twice. So it cancels out two of those potential matches. And then aside from that, each team really has only one shot to super disrupt somebody, except for Washington. Florida could beat Valley. I could see that happening. But I think Florida just had a really good week, and London really just wanted to say that I could never actually touch the point this week. So I don't know if Florida's actually as good as we think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto could beat Seoul. We'll see. The solar coaster goes up and down, but I still think Seoul's solid enough. In Washington, Houston's a separate story, but Houston really could, like, Washington has a chance to upset Atlanta and Paris. Washington is the only team I'm really actually concerned about going into this, just because the skill ceiling, or the play ceiling, excuse me, with Corey and Stratus and the rest of that team is so high right now.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a 33% chance.
let's hold these actual numbers and stats. Keep those to yourself, okay? We don't use those here. Just kidding. Valmel, I mean, is Corey out there collecting heads? You know, trying to set, like we talked on the show, trying to sell some jerseys for next season, popping off on these playoff teams?
I definitely think that Washington is one of the teams that's already been eliminated that can cause some kerfuffle in the later weeks. But like Ramsey said, I don't really expect much from Toronto and Florida in particular because they play each other both in week three and in week four, I believe. So it's there's a lot of those games that are kind of negating each other. And yes, I completely agree. It's the other teams that fall out of playoff contention that are going to be the real disruptors.
Mm-hmm.
I can see Florida maybe making a play against the Valiant, much like Ramses had already mentioned. Florida against Boston. Again, Boston's kind of slumping a little bit. Florida maybe, you know, taking a little bit of a rise. We'll have to see again. That London game was a little gambly. It looked a little weird. You know, you go from beating the Charge, and it's a good team, and then you lose to Florida, who opposite of good. But, you know, all in all, not so much. I don't think these bottom teams are really going to affect the standings too terribly much going into playoffs.
Gotcha. Boop, last words here on these rogue agents acting of their own accord.
Well, I think what we need to like take into consideration is that it's not going to – they don't need to take 18 games away from somebody, right? It only takes one game to ruin a other team's playoffs hopes, right? And we're also talking about not just – getting into the playoffs, but potentially getting those buys as well. And we're talking about the Justice, and they're that one team that could conceivably put a wrench into a couple teams' plans. And yeah, Florida Mayhem and Toronto face each other, but we don't know how the rest of the season is going to look. And while those are only two of the, you know, last couple games of the season, they could come back and potentially take maps off of somebody, and that could even make the playoff picture a little less secure for some of these teams. But in the end, just like Bob said, in traditional sports, we don't have anything to lose. One or two things is going to happen. They're either just going to wait till next season and take it easy and have a good time, or they're going to try to play spoiler. And I know, like, from experience and contenders, teams that want to play spoiler are really, really trying to get in there because that's how they leave a mark on their season. They're already off in the playoffs. They're not going to make it. So how do they make their season memorable? It's by taking the season away from somebody else. And I think some of these teams are really looking to do that, not just Mayhem and Justice, but, again, those teams that are going to fall by the wayside as the weeks go on as well.
Yeah, I was wondering for a second maybe some of these teams are going to be like purposely not even sandbagging, just like whatever, we'll just give this team a bye. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I think the exact opposite is going to be happening. I think we're going to be seeing some dreams crushed, and personally I can't wait. But moving on here, let's talk a little bit about the suspension from the Hangzhou Spark of Crystal. Over the week, we got a report of Crystal having some less than stellar, no pun intended on the stellar reference, less than stellar out of game performance in terms of showing up. I forgot to get the Allen Iverson practice sound beat again. But
practice?
Practice? We talking about practice?
Wait, you talking about practice?
But in all seriousness, he was not showing up to practice, not giving it his all. So, Ramsey, just want to get some general thoughts on the suspension as a whole. How does this affect the league, the team? What are your overall thoughts on this?
It's a big bummer for me personally. I know Crystal was a player that I was very excited to see actually step foot into the Overwatch League stage. Mm. And I know for a while we were concerned, why hasn't he made it? Why hadn't he actually played until a couple weeks in? And now we're starting to get an idea of why. It's unfortunate because you see a player who is as good as he is. Like, we saw how hard he didn't carry Team China, but he was like on all cylinders for Team China for World Cup this last year. And when you have a guy who has that much impact, it's a bummer to see somebody just not really understand the cards they've been dealt. We saw, like, at the beginning of the stage, at the beginning of the season, before we even had started playing games, it was stuff like him wanting to have a separate room to kind of have his own space to be, which made him late for practice, late for scrims. The big issue that we keep seeing, that we keep hearing about, is him coming over to the US on a travel visa so that he couldn't go back and forth more than one time, which on one hand is his fault for sure. Like, you have to think that's at least a little bit purposeful, but the Spark should have at least checked that out. So I think a lot of it is, it's a back and forth kind of 50-50 relationship where, yes, Crystal is certainly taking advantage of his employer a little bit, taking advantage of the situation he's been given, but the Spark have to be there to actually kind of hold his feet to the fire earlier than this and say, if you're going to do this, like, we're going to make sure this either happens or you're suspended earlier or we're done with you before this. Because they have plans to trade him earlier in the season, from what the news is to be believed, and they just either couldn't make it work or they couldn't get a deal together with other teams.
Right.
And he still played a little bit after that. So I think they should have held his feet to the fire a little bit more, been a little bit more prompt with the punishment so that you don't get into a situation like they are now where they're kind of really banking on DPS who haven't played in a while to kind of carry them back into relevance.
Yeah, definitely a mixed situation there. Valmel, what are your thoughts here on Crystal?
Like Ramsey said, it's not a matter of how good this player was. Very talented player. Like you mentioned, saw him on Team China. Very, very talented player, even going back to his days in Contenders. I guess I fall a little bit more on the heavier-handed side when it comes to the org. We have esports history that predates Overwatch and some other very modern games that go back, and we see orgs trying to bypass, you know, long expensive visa issues by getting players travel visas, which is illegal. We've had players, especially in League of Legends, get detained at the border or at customs and be, you know, held because they were on a travel visa and they weren't supposed to be, you know, traveling to the country, and that affects the team, and it just looks unprofessional. Again, I'm a little bit more heavy on the org. I think they didn't really do their due diligence in a lot of this. It constantly comes up, okay, you gave him the travel visa, that's a no-no. This has been a constant thing all season. What's been really going on with that? Why are we giving him second chances? Why do we try to, you know, facilitate him as much as possible? I get, you know, everybody's new to the league. You know, it's a very talented player. You try to make it work with him, but, you know, it's not about who's the best sometimes. You know, like, even in the GOATS meta, it wasn't about the individuals popping off. It was about teamwork. And if Crystal can't perform in a team environment, then how is that going to work? Now, in 2-2-2, that's a different story, but it's a mess. I think the org's a little bit more to blame here. Yes, Crystal, need to get your stuff together if you want to continue having a career, because you're going to go back to China, possibly to a contenders team. Who's going to really accept you back with open arms when this is kind of the attitude you're approaching, you know, the game with? So it's a mess. Don't like it. No bueno. Good player. Unfortunately, bad attitude.
Yeah, no bueno. Definitely a good way to summarize that. Boop, where do you fall here on this Crystal controversy?
I think I'm right where Valamel is. Just in general, something I know that Valamel and I talk about all the time is just the lack of clarity in esports in general, right? Is just, we would like to know the rules. And when you're a player like Crystal, it is so hard to understand exactly what those rules are, especially since it's coming from an organization that you might not even be speaking your first language, right? And so you're potentially getting information that could be lost in translation as well. And what this looks like to me is, you know, a kid, right? And I'm going to say kid here because it does look like he needs to mature a little bit, and he needs to learn how to be a businessman as well. And that's something that I hope a lot of these players end up kind of going into. It's you're now your own brand, you're now your own business, and your actions will have consequences, positive and negative. And unfortunately, this time around, they are negative for Crystal, and it's what it started. But what I really wanted from the Spark is, you know, an organization that understands that, right? Understands that a player might go through these emotional issues, might not understand how these visas work, or maybe he was getting this visa because that's what he was told to do, right? I don't know. I'm not like a hyper familiar with the situation, but in general, I really want orgs to be more of a guiding factor to these kids' lives, because a lot of them aren't going to go to college. A lot of them aren't going to be in school. And that's where a lot of us, you know, and in our jobs, it's where a lot of us learned how to be people, right? Work on a team. And there doesn't seem to be intentional guidance in some of these teams to help these players become those people, because the goal here is not have players play for a year and then move on to another team. You want to establish a presence, right? You want to have players on your team that want to play for you over multiple years so you can build that brand yourself. And Crystal had the potential to do that. I mean, he played really well in that World Cup, and he does have a following, but now he's in a position where the org doesn't trust him, and now other orgs might not trust him, because remember, three other teams refused to take him in a trade, right? And the Spark, though, I think could have preemptively done a couple of these things as an organization, because he would make them better, right? He is a good player, and you do have to stop accommodating at a certain point in time, but this just seems to be a situation where no one really talked to each other. Everyone was going off of assumptions, and now we're here.
Yeah, definitely a muddied situation, to say the least. Bob, last thoughts here on Crystal.
Well, I don't know how true it is, but in Spark's release, now I did have to use Google Translate to read it, so I don't know how accurate I am in even reading it, but they stated that they told him to get a work visa, and he got a travel one instead, and therefore he missed the entire preseason and the start of Stage 1 because of that. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I think the last draw had to be his last trip. I mean, I'm pretty sure nobody said this, but I mean, he lied and said he was going home to a sick mother and to check in with his doctor on his mental health, and then instead went to Guangzhou to his girlfriend's house. Then he didn't respond, was days late. And then the Spark did the weird thing where they tweeted out about it. But then the only time he contacted him was on Twitter publicly in front of everybody. And it's just the most bizarre thing. But he does a lot of the stuff that I did with jobs when I was in my late teens, some of my early 20s. But I wasn't making this type of money. I wasn't getting paid to play video games. So I think I'm with Ramses and pretty much everybody else here. They should have cracked down on him sooner. Or helped him out better, but either way, it's not a good look for the league or the organization as a whole.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what everyone said, and I want to weigh in just a little bit here. I think about, like, if I was going to go apply, like, if I was playing in a Chinese Overwatch League right now and I needed to go apply for a Chinese visa and do all that, I wouldn't know what visa to get, especially if it was in Chinese or a language I didn't know. If I messed up, like, I'm just an idiot, right? And if my org is not helping me, I think that's at least.
Isn't Crystal Chinese, though?
I mean, maybe. I'm using it as an example. Even if it's in English, when I was 18, I didn't even know what a visa was. Now, maybe I'm just uncultured swine, but I personally don't expect these kids, like Boop said, these kids to know what the difference between a work and a travel visa is. I still don't really know. I mean, I can be like, oh, I can only go to work or I go just for travel. But, like, there's probably a lot of things about travel and work visas that I don't know as someone who's older than them and has worked longer than them. And if I'm doing something for work, I, as an employee, have some amount of expectation of my employer to be like, okay, My job is to play Overwatch. My job is to perform and be a brand. My job is not to do paperwork for my visa. That's your job. Now, if the things that the org said are true about him skipping practice and going for the wrong reasons, okay. I mean, I can't confirm or deny that, right? Like, who's to say that the org didn't just make that up? Maybe it is true. I don't know. But from the regardless of that, the it was mishandled on both sides, at least from the Sparks release. Now, there was a report that Crystal is going to be releasing a counter statement. I don't know if he's waiting on legal advice or representation or something. I don't know anything about that. I would definitely like to hear both sides of the story, because I think, at least, you know, when you only hear one side of the story and the one side is from an organization, they're going to paint it in their light no matter what. So
they usually have better lawyers.
They almost certainly do. But I won't go too much into that because I'm not a contestant here. No one wants to hear me. We want to hear you guys. Let's move on here and talk about something that's more depressing to me, but is probably very happy for a lot of people. We saw, I think this is the first week ever in the regular season, that both the Titans and New York Excelsior have lost, which of course brings up the question of who the best team in the league is. We saw, you know, two of the Titans fall. I mean, Shock has been in that top three as well, but they've fallen recently as well. Valmel, who's the best team in the league right now?
That's a really good question, because I don't think it's incredibly clear. I think Shock is a great front runner just because of their history. Mm-hmm. You go back stage one, stage two, stage three, they've always been within that upper echelon, if not towards the later end of the season, being, mm-hmm. you know, arguably one of the best teams, if not the best team. And then you've got some odd names to kind of throw out there. Obviously, the Gladiators are doing good, but not as good as you want them to be in that kind of top spot. And then you have to look at Atlanta. London's really not there. Chengdu, I don't know. Like, it's not clear who's the best right now. Mm-hmm. Titans, is this a fluke? I don't know. I don't think it is. This was an absolute dispatching by the Washington Justice. This was very one-sided. So mm-hmm. what do they look like in week three? Do they bounce back? We've seen them bounce back from before during losses. Again, look at the Valiant game. They can. I still think they have the potential to kind of reclaim that top spot. But right now, it's honestly anybody's game. Everybody's kind of clawing at the mountain, and I'd have to give it to Shock just because of the breadth of experience that we have with them. They're not doing that poorly. I wouldn't even consider their performances so far to be poor. I think it's just them adjusting to the meta. Everybody's still kind of in this weird, volatile alphabet soup of what are we playing? Are we playing mm-hmm. the Reaper, the Widow? Like, what's the comp we're running? And they're starting to come around to it. And I still think they're trying to figure out their roster, too. We're seeing a lot more Smurf. We're seeing Sinatra playing heroes mm-hmm. that we haven't seen him play in a long time. Him kind of subbing in. We're having that DPS line flex a little bit more. We're seeing Violet have to get off the Zenyatta, which has, in my opinion, been a little bit of a weak point for this team. But overall, this is probably the best candidate to be, you know, best team at the moment. But it's mm-hmm. it's very close. It's not decided whatsoever.
Yeah, definitely. I think the level one pick there, definitely in the Shock. Boop, do you agree? Is it just an easy Shock pick, or do you got another opinion here?
Well, so my whole thing here is that the Vancouver Titans are 22-2, right? It's not like they have shown, like, kind of what New York XL did last season, right? Mm-hmm. They start sandbagging at the tail end of the season, and they're doing the same thing. NYXL are doing the same thing now. So I'm going to believe that NYXL are on more of a decline than the Titans are, just based on the fact that this has happened before. We don't have that same history with Vancouver. We have two losses in the regular season to really base our opinions off of, and it's actually pretty crazy to me that just I know they don't look as good. I get that. But for mm-hmm. a team like the Titans, who haven't lost, who've seen so much success mm-hmm. that they lose to the Justice, and they lose to the Justice, right? But, you know, University of Oklahoma has lost to teams in the Mid-American Conference, you know, in the past, big school versus small school, right? Mm-hmm. And they went on to win every single game after that and become national champions, right? And so single losses don't portray an entire season story very well. And so I would probably rank Titans a little bit higher, because if you're also the Titans, one or two things are going to happen, right? You're going to be like NYXL and just start losing at the tail end of the season because for some reason you've just lost all your moxie and energy, which that's what it looked like against Washington. Mm-hmm. Or you take this as a learning experience, move on from it, and make adjustments. And the staff that, you know, in Vancouver understand and know how to do that. I'm talking a lot about Vancouver. They're not my choice. It would be the shock as well for a lot of what Volumel said is just in this stage, they've found just a tad bit more consistency than some of the other teams because consistency has been hard to come by for a lot of teams. Honestly, it's actually really crazy because Washington has arguably been one of the most consistent teams this stage, right? And so everyone's clawing at the top, like Volumel said. Vancouver is still there, and until they've absolutely proven that, hey, we've got issues, we need to make some direct changes. And in my opinion, the Justice game is close to that, but isn't that line just yet. And so I'd probably put Shock first and Vancouver still second.
Yeah, but Boop, they lost last week to a bad team, so therefore they're the worst team in the league. I mean, come on!
We all know the transitive property, yes, man, in Overwatch.
Well, transitive property.
It's that circle. This team lost to this team, so this team must be terrible. It's so dumb.
Okay, it's the parody puzzle. It's the parody puzzle, okay? It is now completed. Bob, is it just Shock? Is it still Vancouver? Well, who do you think here?
So I'm with Boop and Volumel. Like, I do worry more about NYXL than I do Vancouver. I mean, let's face it, Vancouver played their game with the Genji and the Widow in week one. They went 2-0, and Hoxel went off the roof. Like, in fantasy, he scored more points than I think anybody has in, you know, weeks prior. And they played it really well. And this week, it looked like they were just going up against a team they thought that they could try out the new meta on. I wouldn't put it past that they were just scrimming. So not really worried about Vancouver. I'm more worried about NYXL just because of the choices they've been making, like with not having Libero on Hanzo and having him play Sombra instead of SBB, who's on stage at the same time, who played Sombra all of stage three. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But if I have to pick someone not in those two, I mean, you could make a case I want to say San Francisco Shock, but two other people already said that. I mean, they've won two games. They've played a whole bunch of different DPS.
You don't have to pick someone else. You could still think that
They beat LA Gladiators and the Seoul Dynasty, and the LA Gladiators beat the Chengdu Hunters, and it's the only loss they've taken this stage so far. Chengdu's 3-1. So they played some good teams and won. So I think San Francisco is probably my pick, but you could make a case for Atlanta too. I mean, Erster's out of this world, and Lear and Baby Bay seem to be splitting time really well. And Cheobin can play the D.Va or the Hog, which is huge right now. So, but if I had to pick, I'm going San Francisco.
Boring. I mean, you know.
Can we get a new host?
No. Ramsey's last words here. Who do you got? Are we all in the hand-holding club here with the San Francisco Shock, or do you have a hotter, a different take? I won't pressure you.
It's not a hotter take, but I'm holding my own hand here. Vancouver's still the best team in the league to me. Just because one loss, granted, it's to Washington, I understand, but one loss does not a season make. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm looking right here. The Miami Dolphins beat the New England Patriots 34-33.
I'm going to help you out. They actually beat the Patriots a lot, just so you know.
True. Like, the record, 55-52, which, like, I am grateful to have the sheet up here. But that's the thing, is that, like, a loss can come here and there, but that does not establish your entire season. Mm-hmm. If anything, I get more scared of Vancouver because losses like these here and there bring you back down to earth and bring you back to actually being in competitive form the whole time. One of the things we talked about with New York last year was New York won so much that, like, when they obviously were sandbagging, they got stuck in that funk where they couldn't turn it back on in time to actually like do work and get into the finals. So I think losses like these actually are good for Vancouver every once in a while. First place is still locked up. They're not losing it. They're still, as far as coordination and synchronicity, the best team in the league, in my opinion, for that. until I can see like continued examples of this, I don't think Vancouver is anywhere except first, but anywhere except best team in the league. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of good points there. I mean, a lot of good logical points. So, I mean, none of that even matters at all. Obviously, Washington Justice is the best team in the league because they just beat the best team in the league. Corey, man, Corey's on a tear. But no, I think we all, well, you guys all made really good points. But speaking of points, that is going to be the end of round number one. And let's go over the points for those of you who are listening on in podcast world. We got a close game here. We've got Volamel and Ramses tied with 22 points, and Boop and Bob tied with 23 points. So, like, man, you might even be able to say that at this point, it's still anyone's game as we roll into round number two.
Round two, capture the objective.
So we've been talking about differences in the Overwatch League structure and the playoff structure. The arguably the biggest difference in the Overwatch League playoff structure here is that it is now a double elimination tournament for the playoffs. So instead of it being one and done, it's one, get bumped down to the loser's bracket, and then you lose and you're done. So, I mean, obviously, you get a little bit more, you get to show off your consistency a little bit more. So if you have a bad game here, you can make up for it later. So Boop, we'll start with you. Does this, you know, benefit anyone specifically in mind for you, or is this still just kind of anything goes?
So I think traditionally double elimination brackets look like they would benefit some of the lower teams, like a Fusion or a Dynasty or Dragons, right? But in general, at least in my like heuristic observations, they always benefit the winners, because the winners are able to make those adjustments a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And what it does is, say a team gets an upset, right? Say, you know, Rain upset some other team and they stay in the winner's bracket, mm-hmm. right? Who are you going to vote on? Are you going to assume that the number one seed is going to make it through losers and make it to finals anyway? Or is Atlanta going to continue on through winners, right? Mm-hmm. I think it gives everyone an extra opportunity to show their stuff. But in general, the favorites tend to use this to their advantage, especially when you do make it through winners. I mean, we all just watched Evo, and I think at least most of the ones that I saw, the person who won winners finals ended up winning the entire tournament. So if we're taking that into consideration, we already have proof that the 1-2, you know, the 1-4, you know, the 1-6 seeds, the ones that are already showing that they can be consistent throughout a season, even though this stage can be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. The teams like Titans, the teams like Shock will really benefit from a second opportunity, because it's like giving Goliath another round against David, right? It's like, right. Oh, okay, this time around, I'm just not going to let the slingshot get me, right? And you can make those adjustments, right? Right, and then it's right. Be very different the next time around, and so I think it benefits Vancouver. It really benefits New York if they don't bomb out of playoffs once again, mm-hmm. which is almost like an expectation for us at this point. And it really helps teams like the Shock. You want to say it helps teams like the Dragons and the Rain, but I don't really think it does, because one upset isn't going to move you on into a tournament like an NCAA does.
Right.
You're going to have to continuously overachieve through that bracket before you potentially get knocked down anyway.
Mm-hmm. I love the... I'm just going to play around slingshot this round.
Yeah, man.
Oh, it's so good. That's so good. Bob, what do you think? Is this the rich get richer, or are we going to see a more level playing field here?
Well, going after Boop is kind of hard because we think very similarly. So, but I think it's great all around. I think it just gives more chance, you know, because there's a lot of chance in playoffs, and like in European leagues, like it's the soccer league, you don't even have playoffs. Like, it's just whoever wins the most games is the mm-hmm. champion. And, you know, so it's always bizarre for Europeans to look at playoffs here, and it's exciting for us. But I think double elimination gives a better chance of having the two best teams in the actual grand finals. Mm-hmm. Say we had it last year, I think it's very possible NYXL is in the grand finals with London. I think that they were resting, and if they got beat there, they would have really pushed it for a week, and they would have got to play maybe a couple more teams before going to the grand finals, and they would have really honed their game. Now, I don't know how much it's going to help them this year, but I think it's good all around.
Mm. Yep, I tend to agree with you. Ramsey's thoughts on the double elimination for the playoffs this year?
I really like the change. I think it will be a lot better as far as like creating more storylines out of it. Plus, we get to see more Overwatch, which I'm a fan of.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is going to help. Talking about the rich get richer, I think it's going to give the chokers one extra chance, like we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I think New York Excelsior actually gets one more do-over to actually make sure and prove they're not choking on a fight or just on a particular team. Because it also means that there's just going to be some matchups that you just aren't ready for at the beginning. If you're going through winners, going through losers, you might actually get a team that you're better suited up against.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely think New York's going to benefit. I think Seoul benefits as well, because Seoul is a team that just is very inconsistent depending on what lineup they want to put in. And it could be the case if you put in the lineup, you put in lineup A, the one that doesn't have Flutter on it, and you get wrecked. And eventually, like, you put in a lineup that doesn't work, you're able to amend your strategy, see what parts fell apart as far as your actual game plan, and then amend it to whatever team you might be facing next. Between those two are the main ones I was thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
I also think London, in the pure sense that London is the highest of highs and lowest of lows, as we saw this week,
right,
that you get another chance to really just make sure your guys are clicking on all cylinders, that Profit and Birdwing are just going out and destroying everybody. So I think that the streakier teams are really going to be the ones who benefit, the ones that need that momentum pushing forward.
That's an interesting point as well. I like it. Valma, last words on double elim.
Again, the question was, you know, who does this benefit the most? And when I read that, I go, okay, you know, who's the team that had their bags packed last season and didn't expect to do well in the playoffs? Who's the team that has some of the most individually talented players in the new 2-2-2 meta with an upcoming patch before the playoffs that is going to change up the landscape? Not as much as 2-2-2, but change the landscape up a fair amount, right? And that's London. London, like Ramsey said, they need a loss to go, oh, dang, man, we should probably study for the next test. Well, you know, let's get out the book and let's get cracking. You know, this is a team that they're going to be the perennial dark horses. Now, whether or not they kind of realize that potential, that's a different story. But they always have that potential. Are they the most consistent team? No. Double elimination helps them. And I think it helps them the most. Yes, it does help, you know, Vancouver and San Francisco. I think it helps Chengdu as well. All very, very talented and dedicated coaching staffs that are going to be able to tailor strategies. Because, again, this isn't playing for the field. This is just playing for the team in front of you. So if you can play for the team in front of you and only have to worry about that, you know, obstacle ahead of you, you can develop strategies and you can develop styles and counter comps and this, that, the other thing. And that's really going to help the fact that you have good coaches. If you have good coaches and talented, you know, minds for the game, that you can actually beat anybody that's put in front of you. What also helps is just being Profit. So, you know, London's my vote.
I think y'all had really good points. The correct answer was who benefits was us as the fans and content creators that get to talk about more Overwatch and watch more Overwatch.
No, Ramsey's kind of said it.
I know. That's true. You know what, Ramsey's, you did get the secret bonus point, that question. There you go.
Why do I keep doing this in conversation?
You know what, Boop? You get the assist. You get the assist point as well. I'll level the playing field. I'll give you the assist
the pity point. I'll take pity points. Yeah. They're points too.
That is true. Speaking of pity, let's talk about the Houston Outlaws. Who I wish I could give myself a point for that. Houston Outlaws have been nothing but consistent at shooting themselves in the foot when they absolutely need wins and have a shot. But they do have this going for them. They have new ownership, and at least in some ways have shown some progress at points of maybe getting a little bit better. But Bob, as the resident Dallas Fuel fan, we'll start with you. Does the new ownership and is there a new light for Houston at the end of this tunnel, or are they going to keep shooting themselves in the foot?
I really hope not, because rivalry and all. But I think that the management specifically had a chance until now. Like, lots of analysts, casters, I'd say the majority of them, me included, thought that Houston was going to look a lot better in a 2-2-2 mm-hmm. setting. But instead, they're 1-3 now in stage four. And it's just some weird stuff going on. I mean, Jake had popped off, and then Jake wasn't in. And like he popped off for two games, and then the second game they lost, and then he wasn't in at all the next game. It's just kind of just weird stuff going on there. But I think the management is going to be what needs to be rebuilt. But we don't know much about this new owner. Is he a Jerry Jones type of owner? Which for non-football fans, that's an owner that likes to be involved in everything and make a lot of organizational decisions. Or is he going to hire a new GM to do all of that? If he's smart, he's probably... And it sucks because I really like a lot of the front office people of Houston. And it is a small front office, so they might need to really... like really take a deep look at who's actually at fault. Whoever filled out the cards and has multiple times put in the wrong person, they definitely need to get rid of that person, whoever that person may be. But yeah, I don't know that they need to completely rebuild, but they definitely need more staff, maybe different staff, and they need some more players.
I actually I contacted Houston about who was filling out the cards those weeks, and it was this guy. It was an Mr. Magoo actually was. only 40s kids will remember that. Ramses, what do you think here? I know you gave a little bit of a sigh of disappointment when we were talking about Houston. So what are your thoughts on Houston moving forward?
I knew it was coming, and I'm still as a Houston fan, my heart is just perennially bleeding and it'll never stop. So I'm stoked about them getting bought out, and I'm stoked they just hired a new president as well, a former guy from Infinite. So I think stuff is gonna look good, but I don't expect it to necessarily get better on the actual stage, at least for sure not this season. I would even say going into next season, simply just because until we find out what actually the Zabin group or the Zabin group's management approaches to the team, I really don't know how much I can trust it. This is a guy who has no esports experience at all. You go into his portfolio, it's a real estate investment group. Their esports and their sports and entertainment portfolio section of their website is a bar called Roscoe's, and that's about it. So there's not a lot of actual experience with that. The hope is that they do something like what the Crunky group did, where they bring in another esports organization to actually come in and run the team. And hopefully it's not Infinite, just because it's not going to be, but still. Like, that's the hope, is that they bring in another more qualified team to actually run this, or at least to fill out the staff. We talked about like a Flame going on a vast stream and talking about how literally the whole staff was pretty much Flame, Tyrong, and Clockwork at some points. That like these players going out there and just being exhausted just because there's nothing else they can do. And I think something gets lost in the Houston conversation a lot is that Houston is a really, really popular team, but they do a lot of sponsorships, they do a lot of brand deals, they do a lot of meetings. And this president, they just hired Chris D'Apollonio. His big positions were with sponsorship and with partnerships with other brands.
Right.
So I think that's another thing of them trying to build that out further. So the brand and the team itself is going to be a lot richer, and they're going to look a lot better, and we'll have a lot more resources to work with. On the actual field, I love these boys. I love them to death. I don't think they budge past mid-pack, at least for another year.
Definitely a lot to unpack there, and it's really tough to predict without knowing too much about the ownership. But Valmel, what's your impressions on Houston here?
You had to bring up the roster sheets, man. I constantly like expunge that from my memory because it's just like, how does this constantly keep happening? It's not just a one-time thing.
It's like a hanging Chad. They just didn't know. They just
for all you adopted kids.
Only election 2000 18 year olds and above remember that.
I constantly am flabbergasted by some of these decisions, and yes, like the whole Jake situation. Who's playing what? Who's playing Brig? Who's playing Tracer? Nobody knows. why is Mendo on the team? Nobody knows. Woo! Just pay everybody. Like, it doesn't make sense with this team, and I can't imagine that it's going to get worse, right? It can't get worse. This is pretty bottom of the barrel. Do they have potential? Yes. Do I want to stop hating on Houston? Yes. I don't like hating on Florida Mayhem, the Washington Justice, and the Houston Outlaws every single week. It gets tiresome. I want good teams in the league. I want to see some good Overwatch. It's exhausting. Just like, wow, cool. Houston loses again. Hurdy there. It can't get worse. I expect this team to do better next season. The roster is contracts going up. I don't know. Jake might have a guaranteed 3-year. Apparently, that's a report out there somewhere. It's going to get better. I have high hopes for Houston next season. Not top three high hopes, but much better than they have been the first two seasons. So I'm all full steam ahead. Let's just get in next season with this team.
I got to give you a bonus point for the use of hurdy-durr when referring to the Houston Outlaws. Boop, last words here on the Outlaws, their future, etc.
Yeah, I think something that we haven't said yet is just how important it is to get fresh eyes on something, right? Yes. When we all live in our world of Overwatch, right? Sometimes we become jaded. It's impossible for us to see through another person's glasses, right? So it's really good for someone to come in and identify what these issues might be because of their previous experience rather than having to deal with the internal stuff because they've always been there, right? And I think that's going to be really good for Houston. But on the other side of things, we're talking about Houston on the field, and this is actually a sentiment that I've mentioned before, is the fact that do wins equal a successful team when the team is making money off sponsorships anyway, right? For the fans, you want to see wins, right? But they're still buying all of this swag. They're still buying into the lifestyle of the Houston Outlaws, right? And if you're an investor, that's what you care about. You can care less about those wins on the field because everyone is still buying your swag. You're still getting the same amount of money potentially as the Shock or the Titans are at the top side of the standings based on the fact that you've been able to build a pretty adamant fan base based off of one stage in the first season of the Overwatch League, right? And for me, I would love for the success of a team to be determined by the win-loss and their success in playoffs, but that's not everything. There have been teams, there have been teams like in the NBA. The Bulls have struggled for quite a while, but they still have good sales. They still pack the seats, right? Wins don't equal success for a lot of people, and I think potentially what I don't want to happen is for that to be even more so with this new management, because you did just say, oh, he likes the sponsorships, they're gonna look better, and I think that's what they've been focusing on already for the last season and a half, right? They need to focus on some other things to find those wins, to find the ability to finish off a season and take down teams that they're better than. It's not making dumb mistakes, and that's what I hope the new administration at the Houston Outlaws are able to identify, because now that they've got fresh eyes, they're going to be able to look inward and say, okay, these are the problems, let's go ahead and fix it, because again, when you're in there, sometimes you don't know.
True. A lot of really good points about Houston there for sure. Before we go on, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back around the payload. Thank you, everyone, and welcome back to Around the Payload. A little break there, brought to you and caused by G Fuel. Okay, not actually brought to you by not a real sponsor, but actually caused.
Not yet. Keyword. Not yet.
Someday, maybe. But we still have one last question here in round number two. We're talking just a little bit about World Cup here, because I'm sure that's going to be all we're talking about once it comes around, because there's going to be nothing else to talk about. But of course, as World Cup comes around, the inevitable discussion of Team Korea, Team South Korea being dominant. They've won every single Overwatch World Cup thus far. Ramses, we'll start with you. Is there a team out there that has maybe a glimmer of hope of contesting South Korea this year? Maybe.
So this is the thing I've been thinking about for the past 3 years, is just like, man, or 2 years, excuse me, just, man, they really need South Korea to not win one of these just for once, just to kind of get interest back in. And unfortunately this year, I'm a little bit mystified on it, because it doesn't seem like, I don't know. The thing I think is the best help to World Cup teams is having Overwatch League players, not just because of the skill, but also because when they're out there in Burbank playing against the best in the world, the best Korean players in the world, day after day, week after week, you raise your own level of competition up to that standard. And we saw it last year. We're like, 2 years ago, granted, Team USA is not the example we should use for this, but like 2 years ago, like when like Team USA 2 years ago and the rest of the teams that played in the 2018 World Cup, completely different level of competition. Yeah. And same from Korea as well. Korea stepped their game up. This is gonna hurt so much in a couple months. I think Team USA actually has a chance this year. Because of a couple reasons. Only we have like this competition again, being able to play a lot more against the actual top Korean teams. Mm-hmm. The players that they're playing for Team South Korea are all players that have been around the league a while. It's not like they're bringing somebody out from who's out of nowhere, who we've never seen before. They're not bringing a flower out of nowhere.
Right.
So, and Team USA, granted, this is determined on them picking the right roster. I love you, Rockets, but not this year. Like bringing in the right roster, having like the actual players that can go up that skill cap. Mm-hmm. I think Team USA has a shot at it. We have the Western Carpe on our team with Corey, and then I'm hoping he just carries the rest of it. I think Team USA has a decent shot this year, and I think they've learned lessons from last year as far as not to oversell yourself, not to overhype yourself up, or else you will lose to Team UK or Team Canada or Team China. If you do not buckle down, you're going to get locked out. So be on your stuff. I think Team USA has a good shot.
I mean, they do have Corey, which is great, but more importantly, they don't have Zachary. So, I'm firing shots. Volmel.
Zachary.
Volmel, is there any chance that South Korea gets contested this year in the World Cup?
Contested?
Beaten. We'll go beaten. Not. Okay.
Beaten. See, that's difficult. Like, I think it was 2017, I saw USA World Cup team. I'm like, wow, you know what? They have a shot. Not a chance. I mean, they made it kind of close, but whatever. 2018, I'm like, okay, you know, I've been a fan of esports for a long time. I know what Korea does. They're incredibly dominant for a long time before things start to really change. We saw China do really well. I do think China is going to surprise more people again. I don't think I have to, like, how big does my soapbox need to be before you guys listen to me when I say China is going to beat some. See, China's going to clap some cheeks. They've got Leave. They've got Ray. Fantastic coach. It's all China. It's all Chengdu. Like, what do you say? Like, the team's going to upset, I guess, people. But are they going to beat Korea? No. This team's stacked. They've got Krusty. They've got anybody and everybody that you could have wanted in a 2-2-2 meta, in a GOATS meta. Like, this is a super team once again. I can't see a world where they step away where they don't step away with gold. I'd be shocked to see them getting silver or bronze. I just don't see any other team really contesting them out. Unless there's some sort of medical heart attack clause, like weird. I don't know, man. And again, knock on wood, I don't wish any ill on these players.
Casting hexes on Team South Korea.
I like Korea is great. I'm all for dominance. It creates big storylines when it actually does happen and they do get dethroned. It's like, wow, after 4, 5, 6 years, Team X actually brought them down. That's super impactful. So I, you know, hats off to them. They have a super team. I don't think they're going to get contested, but if they do, I think it's China.
All I'll say is that it took over 20 years for a non-South Korean player to win StarCraft championship. Yep. So buckle in, boys and girls. Boop, what do you think? Are we maybe seeing an early? Boop says there's no... Says there's no graphic, and then there is. And I mean, I have to. I you got to get points. I'm literally wearing the USA right now.
The
panda
so,
bear works.
I agree with Ramses, but I'm going to say all of those things a little bit more confidently this time around because I'm pretty high on this Team USA roster, even though we've only got the 12. Something that he did mention was we went with Overwatch League players. There are a lot of other teams that didn't. I mean, like Sweden and Finland do have a lot of contenders players, and we've seen how hard it's been for those contenders players to go up against Overwatch League caliber talent, right? There's definitely a sense of growing pains when they do. Trill's a really great example. And so when we get to the World Cup, I'm going to put all all of the Overwatch League teams ahead. And I think that, you know, the top three for sure are, well, top two, top three are going to be China, USA, and South Korea, in my opinion. I think that even though streaks, 20 years is a long time, that streak ended. Fusion University, they had a streak and it ended, right? And even though this one's only 2 years long, it doesn't mean that there's absolutely no chance of a streak like this ending. And while I'm being a little prideful here for Team USA, they are coming back from a hyper disappointing World Cup performance from last year, losing to UK in a game that everyone thought they were going to just slam and win, right? And so this time around, I just have a feeling they're going to take it a little bit more seriously. And this time too, everyone's going to be preparing for Korea. They came out with that roster, and the first thing I said was, "Oh, dang, man, that's a good one, right?" And
that's,
you know, with
spicy
USA,
meatball.
Yeah, and with USA and China, I think leading into the Overwatch League thing, I think they can challenge Korea. And so, if I'm going to be choosing someone that's not Korea, it's definitely, you know, my hometown team, my home country team, that Team USA. Because the other thing about it is, I feel like it's almost an American thing to go to these international competitions and do one or the other. We don't live in the middle as Americans. We are very polar as in how
you
we
speak for yourself,
in,
sir.
International competition, right? We either bomb out immediately because of our big heads and how cocky we are, right? Or we go in there and we surprise everybody. And hopefully this is going to be the season that USA is able to actually win a game in the World Cup. 2 years ago, it was a thrilling game against South Korea. Last year, we lost pretty handily to UK. And this time around, I think with this roster, they're going into it with more focus. They're going in, you know, to the World Cup expecting to win, I think. And hopefully that's exactly what's going to happen. And they're going to take Korea down in the finals.
I like it. I like it a lot. Bob, last words here. Anyone touching Korea?
So I'm starting to see a trend here with Boop. So last time he was on the show, we were talking about the World Cup. Boop was a South American contenders caster. And he was all about Brazil.
Yep,
now
they almost made it, dude. They almost made it.
Now he's a North American contenders caster, and guess who he's voting for? USA. I love it. But I am definitely voting and going to be cheering in the stands for my USA. But what do I think? Do I think anybody has a chance to beat Korea? Not a chance in hell. It's not going to happen. I've been burnt two years now. Something I've found out, you know, regularly talking to players over the last couple of years and coaches, is that Western players just don't really take the World Cup like that seriously, and I'm starting to believe that that's true, and I don't know what Easterners think of it, but I'm saying no. Like, the roster is stacked, the rest of the rosters. I don't know, but I think China and Korea in the finals, and I think Korea is going to win. I think USA is going to do USA things. And
I mean, we don't even know what roster they have
God.
Yet. They could sign,
we know 12 of them.
I don't know. We know 12 of them, I'm sure.
We know 12 of them.
Who's the flex support? There's some very opinionated opinions on who flex support should be, which I don't know if you want to get into, but, you know, your show, not mine.
Yeah.
True. I mean, I'm definitely going to be rooting for USA for as long as they're in, but there may or may not, there definitely does exist a picture of me holding a giant China number one poster from the World Cup last year. May that
you'll all learn. You'll all learn. Yeah. It's okay.
I also have a shirt signed by the entire Chinese World Cup team from 2017. Only OG HMP fans will know the story behind that one. But that is going to be the end of round number two. And as we go into round number three, a quick recap of the points. Another super close one going into the last round here. We've got Volmel and Ramses with 48 points, Bob with 49 points, and Boop, that USA flag, man, pulling ahead with the Panda Bear, 51 points as we head into round number three. Still, can be anyone's game.
The payload is approaching its destination.
Round three, for those of you who are new and are unfamiliar, is the buy or sell round. Buy is disagree and sell, or buy is agree and sell is disagree. It's not opposite day episode yet. and points will be awarded accordingly. And we're gonna see a little bit of a theme here for this last round. It might be more of a lightning round than anything. But Volmil, we'll start with you on this one, and I may or may not have picked you to go first on this one on purpose and built the rest of the questions around it. But buy or sell, Chengdu are the real deal right now.
I couldn't buy harder. I'm officially, I'd like to announce, I am a lord in the house of Yiska Out. For those of you who don't know, told me in the preseason that Chengdu would be the 20th place team, and I bet him that Chengdu would place above both the Houston Outlaws and the Florida Mayhem. And surprise, surprise, they did. They have the best coach you've never heard of. They're signing a future T-Mobile MVP candidate. You heard it here second. I said it on my Twitter first. This team is stacked. They don't play by your rules. They play a different style of Overwatch. Nobody kind of sees them coming. They overlook them just like Team China was in 2018. Mm-hmm. Nobody catches them because they play so differently. They have these weird picks. Aming on his Hammond. You got Yang Xiaolong and Bacon Jack. I don't even know when those two players are coming in because they have such similar hero pools. It's a different style. I think this team, this stage is going to easily make play-ins. I think they're going to have a 6-1 stage, if I had to guess. I think they're surging right now. Fantastic team. Yes, they're the real deal. That's a buy for me every day of the week.
Mm. I think the hardest buy we've ever gotten from Volumel on the show. Boop. With more graphical support, I still had to ask buy or sell.
I'm going to yub this. For sure. And so I'm going to buy it. I think it's a lot because of what Volumel said. You never know what Chengdu is going to bring, right? And that's actually something I think is unique to them, especially the upper echelon of Overwatch League, is no other team can go into a game and how do you prepare? How do you prepare for this team, right? They can run whatever the hell they want because they found success on whatever the hell they're running a lot of the time. Yes, they can be streaky, but a lot of great teams can be streaky. I think that they're finding that consistency now to where their streaks last a little bit longer on the high side than the low side, because we've all definitely seen Chengdu games where they've done nothing for like entire maps, right? Then all of a sudden, someone starts popping off and the whole team's like, all right, let's go ahead and win this thing. And then they go ahead and do it. So that's a really hard buy coming in from me on really if the what they have one thing that no other team can really do. It's just put the other team on the back foot and how you prepare for them. What team comps are they going to run? How are you going to even approach this team when they do come into the playoffs? And that's why they're so very dangerous.
Yeah, that definitely a lot of solid points there. Bob, buy or sell Chengdu being the real deal?
I am hard buying, just like so. Volumel and I actually had this conversation on Owl Recap this week. The Chengdu Hunters are actually getting coached. They actually have strategists in their front office that are coming up with strategies that are catered towards their players' strengths. They run Doom more than any other team. They like quite a bit. They run D.Va over quite a bit over many other teams. They do things that are out of the norm, and they actually have game plans for different teams, and they have a great DPS and tank rotation. Like they're rotating quite a bit and actually doing what we always thought was a good call early on with rotating players, whereas most teams that do well have just picked a straight six, and that's a lot easier, but I don't know that it's necessarily the right call. So it's a hard buy for me for Chengdu.
Ramses, last person in the line here, buying or selling Chengdu right now?
I'm buying big as well. Of like all these teams that we saw pitch upsets, quote unquote, this week, I think Chengdu is easily the one to have the most faith in. I know a personal concern of mine going into this was that stage 1-3, like, yeah, cool, Jinmu's playing DPS, he's playing Hanzo, that's great. He's not playing against actual other DPS. He's not playing against other other DPS. Oh, his fair is really good, but he's not playing against actual hit scans. And he's out there and he's still doing really, really well. Like, you couldn't shame on me. I was a doubter that I didn't think he was going to continue to do well in this stage. And we're seeing him do really well. We're seeing Elsa start to subtly creep up as a really, really good off-tank player as well that just does not have the name recognition that other people have. Mm-hmm. And then I get, like we're talking about before, I think that their support players are criminally underrated as far as just being able to keep that team alive and then also being able to survive a lot longer than a lot of other players. And like we talk about Kyo actually being a pretty freaking good flex support, a really good Ana, a pretty good Zenyatta, and can just keep his team alive, is usually one of the last to die in those fights. So I think Chengdu is a really scary team to be looking out for. I would not want to face them in the coming weeks. I am buying as many stonks as I can of them.
I got to make one correction there, Ramses. Elsa actually has the best name recognition on the Disney XD channel, we found out. You just gotta let it go.
Dang.
Got there with the Frozen reference. We'll move on here, and I think you might be able to pick up on the theme for this last round here. But we're gonna start this one off: buying or selling. Boop, we'll start with you. That the Washington Justice are the real deal here.
So this one's a little bit harder since we don't have as much information, but I'm going to go ahead and go with my American flag once more. I used to live in D.C. I used to live in Columbia Heights before it was cool to live there, by the way. And I'm going to go ahead and buy this. I think you can't underestimate the fact that when they're understate the fact that they're 3-0 and they did take down Vancouver. And not only did they take down Vancouver, they wrecked him. Corey absolutely destroyed the Titans. And mm-hmm. when you've got a player like that who needed a game like this to know that he was good, right? That he could play in this meta, that he could actually be successful, then you've got the rest of the team that can be able to back him up like Stratus, right? And once you get that confidence, you finally have a building block to build off of for your team, right? Before, it was just lose over and over again. Every time you won, it was just like a fluke, right? It was because the other team gave you the victory. And this time around in this stage, it's been the other way. You know, it's been the other way. Washington has outplayed their opponents this time around. And while it's harder for a team like Washington to continue something like this throughout the season, we've definitely seen that in other sports before, like the Browns last season, where all of a sudden this bad team just started winning. And once they got that confidence, once they got that leadership, and once they got the team to be able to support one another in order to find success, that's exactly what they were able to find. And that's why I'm buying the Washington Justice.
Buying the old Justice and Corey in the house. Bob, you buying or selling Washington here?
Now, mine's going to have to be a soft buy just because they're a team with nothing to lose, and it's a lot easier to strategize and try some new things and just play without pressure. And pressure is a big part of being in the league. Just and they don't have the pressure now. They're just out there having a good time. But I am buying because everybody talked about, you know, Corey's Hanzo, right? You know, like everybody loved his Hanzo. The desk was freaking out about it. But I just kept thinking to myself, is nobody noticing Stratus doing all of this? Like Stratus was knocking Pharah's out of the air with his right click. He was getting Orisa up to the high ground. He was playing the Mei unbelievable. And I think I think they're an amazing DPS duo. And then you have to talk about the team and Ark kind of revolutionizing the Baptiste play. Baptiste, I mean, they were using things where they would use the Mei wall, then throw up Baptiste ult, and then drop the Mei wall, and then everybody's just right behind it, and they just knock everybody out. They did it a couple times throughout their match with Vancouver, and they're doing a lot of innovative things, but I don't know if they'd be doing that if they had a shot at the playoffs. So it's going to be a soft buy for me.
I guess I can accept a soft buy as long as you're not trying to deal in options and other crazy stuff. As long as it's somewhat of a buy.
If they were in play-in contention, it would be a hard buy.
Interesting. Ramses, how about you? Buying or selling Washington?
I'm actually going to make the jump to a hard buy because have you looked at what their schedule is for the next couple weeks? They're playing Boston, then Houston. Atlanta's going to be a good game. And then Paris. These are all winnable games for them. I think how does that
make them the real deal if they're playing bad teams?
It doesn't matter if they're the real deal. They only have to play these four teams. Like, that's the thing. Like, we don't care about their end of season stake or contention because it's not going to matter. They're not going to make play-ins. And so, again, talking about not having anything to lose, they can throw every single thing at the wall and just stunt on these kids. I am so excited just to see these guys go out there. And it's going to be very high-low. I think either they go out there and they either crush these teams or they get figured out. But I'm betting on the first one way more. Just because you can, like, Avast even made a joke on it, but he's quoted himself as saying, like, yeah, like, I've said that Corey is the best NA hit scan. You could make an argument for the best world hit scan on his stream. I want to go best world, but I think Corey is a talent. We're seeing a lot out of Stratus. Where has this Sansam been this entire season? Where, like, all of a sudden he's, like, super good on Hog. Janus has stepped up his play a lot. They're putting in Guido with Ark, and that's been a really good support line as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm buying hard. They don't, realistically, for where they are in the league and what they have to accomplish, I think it's very, very doable for them.
Yeah, I've been on the no Janus, no win, but it's actually Janus on Winston. That's no win, not just Janus himself. But,
and
Ryan too. Valmo, last words here. Buying or selling the Washington Justice?
Am I happy that the Washington Justice are finding success? Yes. I like when teams can do well. Makes everything in the league better, right? Better games, fans are happy, everybody's happy, great. Storylines, wonderful. This is an impossible question, so this is a sell for me. I can't know if the Justice are going to be, or are they the real deal? Because A, they're out of playoffs. Mm-hmm. There's no tests upcoming. There's no tests even within stage four. Like you said, Ramsey, look at their schedule. Mm-hmm. They don't play good teams. They're also playing, like what Bob said, they're playing with absolutely no pressure. So this is an untested team within parameters, right? With a big asterisk above it. I want to see this team under pressure, tested with implications on the line before I can actually give them that nod. They're going to end this season very well for themselves. I can tell you that, but how much does that mean? 75% of the season was a loss. I mean, they won not a lot of games. I'm not going to.
But they were genius for setting up such a good 2-2-2 roster.
Miss me with that.
Intentional.
No.
Galaxy
no.
brain.
No, not
just a 5, but maybe a 6 or 7 head.
I gained 6 brain wrinkles even thinking about it.
I lost some. My brain became smoother.
You either die the 5 head or live long enough to see yourself become the 4 head. But we'll move on from that. But before we make the entire chat go full Papega and I keep talking in not even Twitch chat memes. This is like offshoot third party Twitch chat memes. That's just how deep we're going in it right now. Last question here in the regular game before we cut to our show playoffs, I guess I can call them now. And here's the last piece of the puzzle here, the end of the cycle. Bob, we'll start with you. Buy or sell that the Florida Mayhem, who just beat the London Spitfire, are the real deal?
Well, I hope Bearhands isn't listening because I'm selling. And I'm selling because, come on, guys, they won one game. Now, they're 1-2 in this stage. Now, they did get beat by Washington, who we have to now, it's so weird to say, like, it should be weird, but like, Washington's pretty good right now. So like, they got beat by Washington, they got beat by Vancouver. It's like, I'm gonna have to see some pretty good teams. Yeah, I'm just gonna have to see more wins before I can buy this. You have to sell. I do believe that they're gonna be a better team next year, but no, I don't think I'd sell. I don't even know what to say about it. Sell.
All right. Ramsey's buying or selling Florida?
I am also selling, but I think it is a thing, besides them only having won the one game, you go back and watch that game with London. Brent did a whole breakdown during the halftime of how a lot, yes, Mayhem was executing very well, but a lot of it is also London just not executing to their fullest potential either. I think more of it, it's not a straight Florida beat London. it's pretty, I don't know if you want to say even, but I think there's a very fair chance that London beat themselves on it. Florida has a lot of good players. Saya is a one-man carry when he gets just enough space like he needs. But everywhere else on that team, Fate excluded, I just think everywhere else has at least every other team has some sort of an advantage on them. Fate's really good. I love Saya. BQB's fine. That support line still is a problem for me. I don't see them being able to outcompete anybody right now. And I think that they'll do better, but I'm not willing to see them jump up to the same level that Washington has, just because Washington's skill ceiling seems so much more immediately apparent. Like, yes, Sai is amazing. Yes, we know Fate's an all-star worthy tank. You're telling me that, like, you're telling me Gargoyle is like a top five off tank right now? Like, I like the guy, but it's just not there yet. I don't see, they have stuff to work on in the future, and I definitely think this is a better roster to move with going forward, but I just don't think they're at the same level that Washington are.
Definitely, I hear a lot of those points. I hear a lot of those points. Valmel, buying or selling Florida? I know your favorite team.
I wish I could be quippy with this. I wish I could buy for next season when they rebuild and restructure the whole team again. But it's a sell. Like, this team, yeah, you beat the inconsistent team from last season that almost didn't even make the season finals because they were packing their bag. Like, what do you do? Like, their whole game plan is, okay, cool, we have Saya player. Look at London versus Guangzhou Charge. The whole match was just like camp happy. What happened in this game? I don't know. Could you say that it was Florida detaining them? I don't think so. Not when London is taking 3 minutes and 50 seconds, like Ramsey says, to make a first attack on Volskaya A. That was just the degenerate student showing up for the, I don't know, history class one day. And they're like, oh, well, Purdy Durham trying to milk points.
I'm
again
in this class.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm. I didn't know I was even on the attendance sheet. Like, this is not enough evidence to make the claim that Florida might be good now. Now, in the coming weeks, if they continue showing good performances like they did against London, okay, I'd be willing to change my opinion, but not right now.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's a small sample size for sure. Boop. Final words here: buying or selling Florida Mayhem being the real deal right now.
I am going to sell as well. I mean, you got to give them props for increasing their win total by 33%. That's
true.
Really nice and good for them.
Big
right?
Gains.
They got to the trifecta, the three, right? But until they get to a whole hand's worth of wins, right? And that is when I think you get to start really looking at this team and seeing actual improvement. I, you know, being from Contenders, I still do hold a little bit of a grudge on the org for getting rid of Mayhem Academy after they, you know, beat Fusion University, were very successful. And I think the lesson that is taught there is really poor. Like, the team was super successful. They were performing really well. And I don't believe that they were better than Mayhem, but a lot of people were saying, oh, I would love to see these two teams play because it'd probably be close at the time. And then what do you do after beating Fusion University and going 6-1 in a season? You get dropped, right? And that's just something that I think can be pervasive in terms of the whole org as well, right? Where the whole org might not feel safe, right? Where Valamel is already talking about revamping the roster again, right? So when you land on the Florida Mayhem, what are you going to think other than, okay, this is just a temporary spot, right? Who wants to play for the Florida Mayhem, like, right now, right? And I remember, like, a couple weeks ago, there's an image of the Mayhem all on stage, and just none of them looked like they were having fun, right? I mean, it's hard when you have two wins, right? But you got to have fun in order to win, in my opinion, right? You have to enjoy the game, and I think it's been really hard for Florida to do that, because what they don't have is the same kind of impact that Houston does in terms of branding and getting into the city, right? Because if Mayhem were popular in terms of sponsorships and stuff like that, then I'd probably, you know, be a little bit higher on them. But in general, this org has, I think, shown that changing the roster isn't the right move all the time, right? They've done it twice now, right? And they still have only three wins. They released their feeder team that had a ton of players and gave those players away to Toronto and, you know, other teams as well. So their system in incorporating new players is gone now that Mayhem Academy is also gone. And yeah, you can take from Korean Contenders, you can take from everywhere else, but eventually you got to start looking at yourself and say, we've tried all of these things and none of it is working. So how are we going to continue this success? One win against Spitfire, who are incredibly inconsistent just in general isn't going to make me decide to buy a team like the Florida Man, because there's too much history involved. At least Washington has three games like that they've won, right? Mayhem doesn't have that. And Washington beat Vancouver, right? So there's not an excuse there.
But, I mean, London's the season one champs, and they just beat them. So, I mean, I don't know what you guys want.
I'm never coming on this show.
That is going to bring us to the end of the regular season for the show here. Quick recap of points is going to, unfortunately, lead us to send home to folks. We got Blazing Bob rounding out the bottom with 69 points. Nice.
I like my point total. It's the same number on my Blazing Bob jersey.
I knew you'd be super happy when you found out that you had 69 points, Bob. Unfortunately, Boop slightly ahead with 70 points. And that means that Vollmill and Ramsey's tied at the top with 71 points are moving into the final question here and a chance to take home the illustrious Around the Payload Season 2 Stats MVP, because that's what we're using. We're not using the season MVP. It's only the stats from Season 2, from Stage 2. Okay, enough jokes about how bad the Overwatch League is on their MVP. If you guys are new here, the way the final question works is there's no points given out. It's just both Ramsey's and Volmel are going to be able to submit an answer to this final question, and then both Blazing Bob and Boop are going to have the option to vote on who they think had the best answer. If there's a unanimous decision, then they will be crowned champion. And if there's not a unanimous decision, then the power gets handed back over to me, and I will make the final choice here. But the final question here is... So a little bit of background. We saw the LA Gladiators put out a video where they are rebranding, and this is at least as far as I can tell a meme video. Maybe it's not, but I'm pretty sure it is. They're rebranding from the LA Gladiators to the LA Big Geese. Of course, an homage to Big Goose. I personally love it. I love the rebrand. I love the meme. I love the joke. But the final question here is, what other team rebrand would be great? What would be a great rebrand for a team in the vein of the Los Angeles Big Geese? And Ramses, as the newcomer, you get first crack at this one.
Oh, thank you. So, thinking about this, I was real, like, we actually just talked about this team with Florida. We really don't know what to expect out of this team. We like, they have some good players. They might be good, but they could also not be. So I think they should rebrand to the Florida Might - Hem.
You change all the
jerseys, go some Saya player ? On the end of all the jerseys. You get like the Bond logo, it's just like it's that M with a question mark in it. Because who really knows? Like the whole team
It H-A-M? Like Might Ham?
I mean, they might ham. I don't know. Like, it's the kind of thing. You go.
No, I was going to say, the Florida Might Ham. I like it. It's a play on words. It's a play on the indecisiveness of it. I like it a lot. I like it. Volmel, your pick for a rebrand.
Okay. I was going to go with the mayhem and going with the Vice City look and whatnot, but then it hit me: the perfect meme rebrand, the London Birds. Let me take you down a nice story time, where our beloved London Spitfire are setting up on stage and the cameras are going through each player, and for whatever reason, the London coaches start to badger Spit. Prophet, and he just decides to flip the camera, the bird, on what Legendary. Could have been live TV, and now it has become a foam finger. Jack Etienne, the owner of Cloud9, I think that's his title these days, but you know, they've all embraced the meme, and yeah, I think it's time for Overwatch League to be a little edgy. The London Birds, we can flip the bird. Hashtag flip the bird.
You know, they passed out stickers at the Atlanta Reign home game of Prophet flipping off the camera.
They nice. Have those in LA too. They're Bad Boys of Esports stickers, I think.
That is awesome. So we have the two choices here from Ramsey's: the Florida Mitem, in reference to them being very indecisive with their roster and decisions and whether or not they're going to be on the team in a week or so. And we also have from Volumel a reference to the now infamous prophet flipping the bird, the London Birds. Bob, who are you voting for here?
Oh, man, I don't know. Hard. Because might go ham. I mean, that's good. The birds are good. But it could have been the London flipping birds. Oh, I don't know. What do you go with, Boop?
Whoa. You can't defer to the other person.
I have my choice.
I'm going to go with Volumel. Sorry, Ramses, because that would just be a great logo. Just having the bird right there.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to go ahead and reward the storytelling involved in this person's answer. I'm going to reward the fact that it was thematic as well, and the fact that a hashtag was thrown around it too, because we all know how Overwatch, we love our hashtags.
Gotta get that branding. Gotta get that branding.
And I'm going to bless my vote with Volumel.
All right. Well, that is it, folks. The victory sirens have been rang. You've captured the objective, Volumel. The London Birds, the official. I didn't want to spoil this before the show because I thought you guys might have too much pressure. But I did actually sign an agreement with Overwatch League, and this whoever won this is actually going. This is actually going to happen. So Volumel, you have now chosen the actual new branding for an actual team.
I got to sign away those royalties.
Yeah, yes. Well, I mean, I own them now. But I get the every time someone uses the hashtag, I get one like on my Twitter. But Volumel, in all seriousness.
The best brand was Fusion University ever in the history of Overwatch.
FU was so good. But yes, Volumel, you are the victor here. You have gotten your second crown. The floor is yours. Sell out, shout out, do what you will.
Thanks for having me on the show. It's always a blast to come on and banter with the crew. You can find me on Twitter at VOLAMEL. I think it's down below somewhere. Trying to, you know, improve my win rate on around the payload. You know, this is, a step in the right direction. We're going to have to, you know, try and continue the trend. But, I write some stuff. It's got some projects in the works. So be on the lookout. And thank you all for supporting all of these lovely Overwatch content creators. Go check out everybody's shows and content podcasts and all that good stuff. Show some love. Spread it around.
Yes, the selfless victor of Volumel. As he walks out, head held high.
Tactical crouch.
Head held high, but also a little bit lower because there's now two crowns on it. A good showing by Ramses, the newcomer, and a good showing by everyone here. Thank you so much for all of the guests for being on here. Give yourselves a round of applause for just being a great show. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Guys, you can find us everywhere at High Noon Podcast. That's where all of the Around the Payload stuff is on all the socials. But make sure you check out everyone's Twitter. It's going to be down below in the description, either on the video or the podcast. Wherever it is, you'll be able to find them. But, guys, for Blaze and Bob, for Ramses, for Volumel, and for Boop, I am the Blevins. That's it. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you guys around the payload. Bye-bye.